I love the spectacle of Pentecost. The room filling sound like a rush of violent wind. The dance of fiery tongues upon a room full of disciples. A city chock full of visitors, each one amazed because they understand the voices around them, despite divisions of language that usually separate. Every year we tell this image-rich story. We tell it 50 days removed from when we gathered around fire at the great vigil of Easter. Then too, flames danced, not visibly upon heads, but here and there, the fire's gold and black, the flash, the flicker, the leaps, the glow, light shining before and among us, light beating back the darkness, exposing the shadowed. At last, a single candle passed that light, one to the next, just enough to thread our way forward. Then we were moving into the tomb, yet searching the heart's depths in the long shadows of Jesus' cross, moving into the new day's light of life through death, of life beyond death. But now we've had 50 days of encountering the risen Christ, or maybe more to the point, we've had 50 days of hearing stories of others' encounters with the risen Christ. Still, however you hold them, throughout these days, time and again, we've heard how Jesus came into circles of friends. Jesus came breathing peace and urging love. And all along the way, we've reveled. We have reveled in retelling the stories of how Jesus helped get his friends ready, helped prepare them for a time when he no longer would be with them. In those moments, Jesus offered peace and he prayed unity. And as today's gospel lesson puts it, he promised an advocate who would teach them and remind them everything they needed to know. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said. "My peace I give to you." Sometimes that sounds like just a sweet way for Jesus to say goodbye, but I'm confident that this was not meant as some maudlin farewell. No, Jesus offered these words as part and parcel of the promise. I think he spoke them tenderly, but firmly. In them he offered much more than the pabulum of greeting card sentiments. He wasn't just trying to wrap things up or quiet their fears. Jesus was here seeking to anchor his disciples' lives, to anchor their lives with a truth that would prove unshakable, a promise that could hold them safe through all alarms. And by the time the fire-kindling wind gusted about them on Pentecost, I'm guessing Jesus' disciples needed that anchor. They needed something to hold them steady in the uncertainty of all that was unfolding. After all, the spectacle of Pentecost inspired a wide range of response. For some, the reaction to the cacophony of languages spoken was sheer delight, utter joy in the wonder of hearing in the language of each. But others, probably most, took it differently. The rush of violent wind, the tongues as a fire, that rapid fire babble and banter in so many languages, for some, these brought confusion, question, even suspicion. But anchored in a peace kindled by Jesus' promise now fulfilled, Peter attempted to calm the sneering ones with assurances that what was happening came not from a bottle, but from God. And he further linked the event with God's ancient promise through the prophet Joel. that sons and daughters would prophesy, that youth would see visions, that elders would dream dreams. You see, long before, something like 400 or maybe 600 years before, God had assured Israel that in the last days God's very spirit would be poured out on all flesh, upon the children and the slaves, upon men and women, the spirit of God on all flesh. And to the amazed and astounded around him, Peter calls this promise to mind when the people begin questioning, what in the world is going on here? Indeed, it was absolutely incomprehensible that ordinaries from Galilee were able to speak so that all the assembled from the diaspora would understand. Former fisher folk and tax collectors articulately witnessing to the devout Judeans gathered in Jerusalem? That didn't compute. But there they were. There they were, alive in the power of God, speaking their hope, conveying in words and in the sheer wonder of it all the very power of God to turn things around, to open new possibilities. Here, the spirited disciples were announcing the good news of God, a promise that in part meant they belonged not only to God, but also to one another. Yes, the power of God upon the disciples at Pentecost, it was unleashed not simply to strike amazement in the hearts of hearers, but to kindle a fire of love and to move a community out of itself into a world, into an entire world of God's loving. Yet the story of Pentecost often gets domesticated, huh? By that I mean that occasionally it is reduced to something approximating a little birthday party for the church, a starting point for the community of Jesus' friends that grows almost virally into an international network more readily associated with the institutions of denominations than with the Spirit itself, God's energy for life blown fresh upon the world, poured out on all flesh. Now, of course, Pentecost does mark a beginning for the church. To be sure, it is a formative moment in our life together as followers of the way of God disclosed in Jesus. But friends, what we celebrate today, or at least what we're invited to celebrate, it far surpasses an organizational start, however spectacular. After all, the real spectacle of Pentecost is ongoing. The real spectacle is how the Spirit continues, kindling a fire among the embers of our world, how it lights new flames to dance above even us, how it speaks afresh in words new generations understand, how it goes on and on and on and on, overturning the impulses any of us has to limit God's love, or to tidy up God's church, or to keep the world running reasonable and right. In this day, I hope we will join the revelry. I hope we'll revel in the activity of the Spirit present in our lives, working in the church and in the world. This breath of love, God's Spirit, seeks to be at home in us, to work through us, addressing the needs of the world, making and remaking communities, raising up to new life any and all who are broken in body or spirit. It sends us to immigrants and refugees, to labor organizers, and to members of the board. The Spirit urges us toward the bullies and the bullied, to the righteous and the pure, impure alike. All this, All this includes those out there and us. Us right here. Pentecost kindles a fire of love that we would respond to one another's needs and even open our own lives to the very power of God to turn things around and to open new possibilities. Just so as it was for disciples long ago, so may it be also for us. Lives anchored in the peace of God that stretches beyond all understanding. God's peace, which sometimes seems no peace. That peace Christ Jesus offers, such as the world simply cannot give. Dear ones, today we celebrate that the Holy Spirit has come. But still more, we sing and dance with joy because the Spirit continues to swirl around us and in us. As we go out the doors of the church this morning, as we go forward spirited to change the world, may each one of us be led into all our coming days in all the knowledge and remembrance that our Advocate offers, in the very peace of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.